Creepy Unsolved Media。
Welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. If you want to share a story with me, send me an email at midnight_inthemountains@yahoo.com. For this episode, I have my friend Anne Celine here, and we talk about her paranormal experiences. She is also the owner of KPNL Radio and the host of the Caravan Library of Lore podcast. She has many interesting stories to share with us, so let's get into it. Lady Anne, can you tell me how you got started into Reiki?
Yeah, back when I was 15, my father actually started going to what he called a healing group. I don't recall how he met, her name's Trisha, and I can't remember how he met her, but he went to her a couple times because she did these things called angel appointments. And during these angel appointments, she would run Reiki on you. And then she would also do like a tarot card reading for you. Well, after he met up with her for, I don't know, I'd say about a month maybe, I showed interest and I said, hey, you know, I would really like to partake in this. I want to go and have my own angel appointment and everything. So I ended up going, and it was really a fascinating experience because you could already tell that there was some type of past life that I had with her. And there was a very maternal family bond that we had immediately upon meeting. And what was really interesting too is because she could feel that I had some type of ability or sensitivity. And I remember she put her hands above mine. So my hands are palm up and her hands are palm down above mine. And she says, okay, what does this feel like? And I remember the first one was kind of like a magnetic feeling, like it was just kind of heavy on my hands. And I told her that, and she goes, okay, what about this one? And she kind of would pull her hands away and rub her hands together a little bit and then put her hands back over mine. And the second time, it was almost like it was air, you know, like I felt this light air feeling. The third time she did it, it felt really, really hot. And then the last one, it was more magnetic. And the first one was more like a heavy feeling, and it was kind of hard to decipher. But what she had done is she had sent water, air, earth, and fire energies between our hands. And wow. She was wanting to see if I could pick up on the differences between them, which I had. So this ended up, she had a healing group that she ran every Sunday night, and there was a massage table in the middle of the room. And we called it the healing table. So we would all take turns. You know, one person would get on the table and the rest of the group would be around the person running the energy, you know, on them. It took me a while before I got on the table myself, just because I tend to be a very shy person. So I wanted to just kind of, for a while, I just kind of observed. And then I sat down in one of the neighboring chairs and kind of just tried to send the energy from the chair, kind of do like a distance healing type of a thing. And then finally I started to go up and run energy on people. And then it was quite some time before I got on the table myself, because it seemed like, or what I was taught is that everybody is like an onion. So we all have these karmic layers. And every time that you're on the table, one of these layers is peeled away. And so you never really know how you're going to respond. Sometimes you may laugh hysterically and you just may be full of joy. Whereas another time you may be moved to tears because now it's time for you to really release something really big. That made me nervous. So I attended that for, gosh, from the time I was 15 until I was about 19, I went every Sunday. And by the time, let's see, it was 2011 when I finally got my Reiki mastery.
Wow, that's really neat. Because I have my dad's cousin, so it would be my second cousin. She is a Reiki master, and I've had her do some energy work on me before. And it's been, like you said, I've never laughed, which I wish I would have, but she did it around times that I was going through some really traumatic stuff. And I just felt this serious, like, energy, bad energy, pain in my body. And it felt like it was moving through. And I was just in absolute tears. And it's like, you're not trying to cry. It just happens. And she did it to me another time. And I said, is there anything you can do to make it less? And she's like, well, energy is energy. It's going to move. And she said, I can line you up with crystals. So she had all different types all over, like this whole grid system over my body. She put stuff on my chest, everything. And I could feel this heavy, heavy energy. And it came in waves almost. It would go through my body. And then I could feel the crystals sucking it away. It was, it was so intense. And then that was a couple years ago. And then I just had Reiki done last year because I was having really bad anxiety. And I wasn't really sure what was going on. Usually I can, you know, come up with a cause for it. But so I went to another woman who's supposed to be really good. She's a family friend of a friend. She was good. And I just was drained afterwards, though. It makes me feel like I'm drunk. I don't know. I mean, I personally don't know if I'm sensitive or not. I've been told that I am. So I don't know if everybody would just feel like that afterwards or if I just felt it extra because maybe I am sensitive, but I had to have friends pick me up and drive me home. And after that, I think I got a glass of water, ate something and went straight to bed because I was just zonked out the rest of the night.
That's definitely something that can happen. One of the biggest things that I learned from attending healing group and working with energy is you have got to keep up on your water. Because I definitely experienced that as well. I am sensitive. And so I do completely understand the almost a drunk high type of a feeling from everything that just not only what you receive, but what's, you know, being released from you as well. It can really be powerful. So, yeah.
I get anxiety a lot. And it's what are your, you know, go-tos kind of to get rid of some negative energy that's flowing through your body?
One of the things that I learned in healing group was always calling down to your crown chakra and this white light. They called it the white light of heaven. And so it comes down over your head, over your entire body, all the way down to your feet. And it fills you and surrounds you with this loving, healing, heavenly energy. Another one was they called it the golden liquid light of God. So you just imagine this sparkling, beautiful, golden energy again that is coming down. There is also the green emerald healing energy that you can call down, especially if you're having physical ailments, if you're having physical, because I mean, I'm somebody that has anxiety as well. And with my anxiety, I can definitely get physical, like the pain, especially in my shoulders and in my neck and everything like that. So usually I call down those energies and I just sit and I breathe it in through the nose, out through the mouth, just really allowing it to fill me and surround me, connecting with the breath and trying your best to be in the moment and not thinking about the future, not thinking about the past. Usually that is what helps me. The other things that help me, Deva Premal and Mitten, these are, it's a musical. If you look them up on YouTube, they've got a lot of mantras as well as Snadam Kaur. I really love that music. So I usually put on that music and imagine these energies connect with the breath, and that's usually what helps me with my anxiety. It's really important to try to cut any cords that may have attached themselves to you, because a lot of times there will be people that we interact with and we don't even know. Like, there are a lot of people who are still like asleep and they're not aware of their own energy and what their own energy is doing. So they can actually attach a cord to you. And then through this cord, they can actually drain your energy, or they can send you negative energy. So cord cutting is also something that can really help.
Moving on, I want to hear about how you started KPNL.
So KPNL Radio is a digital broadcasting station. And it actually all started with The Caravan, my podcast. I was a really big fan of Shannon LeGros and Into the Fray Radio. I was in the chat room on Facebook when she had her group, when she first started her group. There was somebody else in the chat. We kept talking back and forth. And then we ended up, he had a YouTube channel called The Acrylic Ranch. He ended up bringing me on to The Acrylic Ranch. And we were kind of this, like 30 minutes before her show would air, we would present like, you know, just something small and then be talking with everybody that was in the group and just kind of be those cheerleaders, you know? Well, eventually what ended up happening is everybody was like, oh my gosh, you both need to have your own show. And I was like, well, okay, you know, we can try. So The Acrylic Ranch grew into an hour-long show. Eventually, though, everybody was like, well, we can't really download it. You know, everybody wanted to, you know, have it like a regular podcast. And this was all like live. When we moved over to actually having it in podcast format, then we rebranded as the Caravan Library of Lore. There was a page on our website that I think it said on air. And on there, we had a schedule. It was a 7-day a week, Monday through Sunday schedule that had everybody's podcast listed on it. Like, you know, Shannon's, you can always listen to hers on Thursdays. You could listen to, you know, this other one on Mondays and another one on Tuesdays. And these were your daily shows. Because I was so excited. I was so excited to have found this community. You know, I ended up going on her show. I think I was episode number 47 or 48. I was so nervous, and it was crazy because after I did the show, I ended up getting messages from people like Canada, New Zealand, and in different states. And they're like, hey, you know, that was so brave of you to tell your story, or I've had that experience too, you know, and it was so incredible. Combining that with everybody also saying, hey, you guys should do your own show. I was just like, yeah, I want to do this because I want to, it's another way to facilitate the healing, you know, because I've always been a healer and I saw that as an opportunity to heal as well. And I was like, okay. So in the end, so let's see, it was about November 2019 that we decided, or we looked into it and we found out about networks. And I was like, oh man, this would be really cool. So my co-host that I had at the time, we actually started the network together. He has since moved on to another podcast, and I ended up taking on the Caravan and KPNL full-time. So with KPNL, I was like, oh, there's so many awesome people that are really doing this with, like, this isn't just their job. They're also doing this to facilitate that healing. And they are people who have also had experiences. These are people that really get it. And I really wanted to support them. So KPNL was born from that love of the community and just wanting to be that cheerleader.
That's awesome. Because that is, you're in it for the right reasons. You're not in it. You're not chasing money. You're not, you know, looking to be this famous paranormal person or anything like that. You're
right.
For great reasons. And that's awesome. You were into search and rescue for a while.
Yes, I was. I started when I was, let's see, I want to say 16 or 17.
How long did you do that for?
I did it for about a year or two.
Oh, that was it. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I love being able to help. I didn't realize how much it would emotionally affect me because at this point I didn't really put two and two together when it comes to being a sensitive and doing that kind of thing. My very first case was a murder scene. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was really rough. They hadn't fully, I mean, they removed the body, obviously, but not everything was completely cleaned up yet. And we were there to search for, you know, clues and evidence and everything. And that was the very, very first case. Basically, the cases that followed after that were, you know, you'd have somebody off mushroom picking because that's a big thing here. We were able to find those people. It was successful. There was only a couple cases that it was kind of like, you know, we had this one. Oh, my gosh. We had this one in Southern Oregon. And we were searching for this guy. And we found out, you know, they had the search dogs and everything out there. He was into drugs and he was off of them, and he also had loaded weapons on him.
Oh gosh.
And it was scary because it was kind of like, oh, okay, like you don't know what you're gonna come upon at all. You don't know what you're gonna find or in what state you're gonna find it. So that was pretty terrifying. The very last case is the one that struck me the most and that stayed with me ever since. And it was also the case that I decided, you know what? I'm good. Because I also, at that point, I was also looking into going into the police force. One of the classes, you know, of course, you know, you take the post-mortem classes and everything, and that was really rough. It was just too much reality and too much. So, you know, there was that. And then combine it with this case that I was on. We had gotten called, and it was for an individual who they had went out hunting with someone from work. For whatever reason, at one point after a day of hunting, they were like, they had an argument. And the one guy said, well, the campsite is right up here and I'm just going to cut through there. And the other guy was like, no, you know, don't do that. It's right through here. And so they disagreed. So they went their separate ways, something you should never do. By the time the man that chose the road got to the campsite, his buddy never arrived.
Wow.
So eventually, you know, so he gets packed up and he calls us and there's a search now. This case, I was not in the field. I stayed back and I was in the, I was at base camp. And I was plotting all that, you know, they'd call in something that they found. And so I put it on the map, you know. Well, it was weird because everything that they found didn't really, like, you could tell that humans had been in the forest, obviously, but nothing pointed to it being him. Things were just kind of all around, and it really literally just felt like he was plucked out of the forest and just vanished. At one point, I had went to the PLS, the point last seen, with another officer. So it's just myself and this officer. We didn't have anybody. Nobody was supposed to be there. We knew where everybody was stationed searching for this and that and the other thing. We didn't have anyone at the PLS. So we get up there and we're out of the vehicle long enough. We both kind of looked at each other and then we looked around to the surrounding forest and legitimately it was like you could hear voices in the woods.
Oh my God.
It was awful. It was very, and it was almost ethereal. It wasn't like it was anybody from the team there. I mean, and there was only one way to drive in there and drive out. And there was no other vehicles. There was nobody there. But yet it didn't feel like we were alone. And it felt like you could hear these voices. And so we just ended up you know, he kind of looked at me. Here I am, this young kid, like 17. And here's this grown man who's an officer. And he's like, get in the car, you know, because he's visibly shook up. He's scared. And so then I'm more scared. And so we get in the truck and we leave. Unfortunately, it was just he was never found. So that was a rough one.
I'm kind of dumbfounded at the moment. Did you have any bad feelings when you heard these voices in the woods?
The only thing that I could equate it to is, you know, growing up, I had experiences in my house with, you know, like spirits and stuff like that. And you just had this really spooky feeling. I mean, that's the only thing that I could equate it to, because it was like you could hear it, but you couldn't see anything. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any sense.
That's strange. That's really strange.
Yep. And I was done after that.
I don't blame you. I think I might be done also after that. What is mm-hmm. your thought on what is taking these people and they just vanish out of nowhere?
Oh, gosh. I've heard of so many different theories. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hear that it could be the government doing it, even though they say, I mean, and this is my opinion, even though they say that things like, you know, oh, Project Artichoke or Montauk or Monarch or whatever, you know, doesn't exist anymore. It's stopped. I don't think so. I think there are plenty of government projects going on that still deal with looking into, you know, psychic abilities and different things of that nature. And I believe that the government really could take people to stick in these programs and experiment on. With my recent interaction with what I believe to possibly be a Sasquatch, I am definitely reevaluating the idea of portals and spiritual beings in the woods. And then there's your alien stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, because who's to say that it's just one thing?
Yeah, I agree. I think each circumstance might be different.
Right.
My top thought is portals. And
right.
I don't believe really that it's Bigfoot taking people. But then you have these stories that are really old from the 1800s where Bigfoot took a woman back to its cave or something like that. Also, David Pilatus talks about these people that go missing in the woods, and then the other person, these people can hear the people looking for them. So they're sitting right there and they're like shouting like, hey, I'm here, you know, mm-hmm. help me. And people walk right past them and they can't see them. It's almost like they've like slipped into another dimension and they could see into our dimension, but we can't see into theirs. So that is terrifying.
That really is. That's an awful, awful thought, and something that I really hadn't thought about, because, you know, kind of in that same realm, and what that makes me think of is recently what I've been learning about ghosts. Sometimes when you see a quote unquote ghost, it's actually not a ghost, but it's like this time slip. So you guys are looking into the different, I mean, it's definitely more research that I want to do, because that stuff is mind just blowing.
Yeah, I don't like to think about that so much, because that really trips me up when you have people and you don't know which side is the ghost, because supposedly all time works at once mm-hmm. rather than linear, which is something I can't even wrap my head onto, and I don't like to think about it, because it's too much for me.
And it pulls so many things into a different direction.
Yes,
and it's like, well, I'm just starting this side and now you're throwing this at me too.
Yeah, everything's intertwined and it's like a big giant knotted mess.
Yes. That's so true.
Yeah.
One day I decided that I would experiment, because, okay, I've always been interested in remote viewing. It's something that I learned about a long time ago. There was these books, and I can't remember They were like Lifetime books, and they each had a different subject matter, and one of them was psychic abilities. And they talked about these Zener cards, and then they talked about remote viewing. And so I was like, ooh, I want to try this. So I called my sister because we didn't grow up together. She lived about 4 hours away, and I had only seen her maybe once a year.
An unfamiliar voice spoke from the other side of the door.
Let me in.
Her hand reflexively grasped the knob, unable to control her own movements. The door opened. A monstrous being stood before her. She gagged at its stench and fell to her knees. It stood in the doorway. A black substance dripped from its body and puddled at its feet. It looked down at her and said,
"That's a good girl. Now aren't you going to invite me in?"
She shook her head back and forth as tears streamed from her eyes. It smiled a depraved grin, revealing black, rotted teeth. It said,
"Still following Daddy's advice about strangers. While he's in hell, he burns over and over and over again."
We Only Come Out at Night, the brand new book from Nomar Slevic. 33 horror fiction stories that will remind you that what lies beyond the darkness only comes out at night. We Only Come Out at Night is available only in print and can be found at slevicstore.company.site or at the Green Hand Bookshop at greenhandbookshop.com.
So I called her up and I was like, "Hey, can I try to do something?" And she's like, "Okay, what is it?" And I was like, "Well, hold on a second. I'm going to try to describe the room that you're in." And she's like thinking, "Okay, this is weird." And so I sit there. And I try to like go into a meditative state. And then I start describing what I see coming into my mind. And she was like, whoa, stop. And I'm like, what? You know, and then she was like, I just ended up, she got this table, this coffee table that had like a panther. And then the glass piece was on top of the panther. And she had just got it like the day before. And she hadn't told me about it yet. And she had chills, and she definitely made sure, she's like, "Don't you ever do that without my permission." I was like, "Yeah, no, I promise I won't, you know." But I was just geeking out because, oh my gosh, I just did a thing and it was real and confirmed. And so that's something that I've always been super interested in. So I decided, and I had my sister on the phone with me at the time that I did it. I was like, "Okay, let's experiment. I want to try to see if I can't remote view the Montauk base." So my sister and I were sitting on the phone, and she had this little bag. And in the bag, she had black stones and she had white stones. The thought behind that was that if I had a yes or no question or to proceed within this vision in my head, to proceed or a yes would be a white stone. To stop or a no is a black stone. I remember seeing pictures of what it looked like around the outside. And so I mentally went there. And then I found this hatch that went underground. And it was out in the woods around the facility. So I went down in the hatch mentally. The next thing I know, I'm standing in this, it's almost like a tunnel. And this tunnel, I'm standing on this, like, it's like a grate and there's stairs, but it's, you know, there's still like a concrete floor below me and it's all lit up with lights telling me that, okay, there is an underground part in this. It is still being used, even though it looks abandoned. I look down this tunnel and there is something that comes out of the darkness at me. I don't even know how to describe it, but it was like this big, monstrous, scary, I don't even know. And right in this moment, as I see this thing coming towards me, now my sister, she's not really sensitive. She's always played the devil's advocate with me. You know, she is my ground. She's my rock and allows me to be the the fairy of both of us, you know? And so
it's kind of like my sister.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And so as this thing is coming at me, I'm not saying anything. And she just all of a sudden says, stop. Just stop. And I open my eyes and I'm just kind of frozen. And she explains to me that for some reason, she had this overwhelming feeling. She felt anxiety. And then she decided to pull a stone, and it was a black stone. And then she just had this intuition to tell me, stop. So I did. And it was very jarring. From there, it was like a couple weeks later, I was out on my patio. I lived in an apartment complex at this time. And I was admiring the stars and I was thinking about Earth Hour. And Earth Hour is where, you know, you turn off all your electricity for 1 hour. Well, I was thinking, gosh, it'd be so cool if our apartment could participate in that, because we're right on the edge of town. And all around us are these beautiful farm fields. And I was just looking up and I was admiring the stars. And I'm like, man, if all the lights were off in our complex, you'd be able to see the stars so good. This is what was on my mind. And then out of the corner of my eye, there's this big puff of like smoky fog kind of a thing. And it catches my attention because at this time, people were doing the vaping stuff and they were like blowing these huge clouds that it was like, whoa, seriously? Like, I'm watching this. And I'm just like, dang, where's the person doing this?
The vape has totally gotten me. I've bartended. I've had a few bartending jobs. And I remember when I was working, the last place I worked had all glass windows to the outside. And I saw this big puff of smoke and I started freaking out. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what is that? What's all this fog? And the other bartender's like, it's just a vape. I'm like, what? How?
Exactly. Well, it's crazy how big these clouds can be. Well,
right.
So I'm just sitting there like, whoa, holy cow. Okay, where's the person doing it? Well, there was no person. This formed into a humanoid, tall looking alien thing.
Oh.
I'm just standing there and I'm really not believing what I'm seeing. And I'm watching this thing walk down the sidewalk. And I'm sitting here now, like, barely breathing because I don't want to move and I don't want to breathe too much because I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm staring at it. And we all, like, and this is no like spiritual thing, like, you can tell when somebody's staring at you. You can feel it when somebody is looking at you. And I'm like, there is no way that this thing doesn't know that I am staring it down right now. There's no way. All I can think is, please, God, don't look at me. Don't look at me. It was so weird because it just wasn't there anymore. Like, it walked into this invisible door. And my mind, my eyes, and mind just couldn't even track. Like, how did it even disappear? It made no sense. And so, of course, you know, I'm standing there and no, I don't have fight. I don't have flight. I'm just frozen, completely frozen. By the time I'm able to finally move, because in that moment, the thing that I was scared of the most is if this could materialize anywhere, who's to say that when I turn my back to go inside my house, that it's not right behind me on the patio?
Oh, like, I didn't even think of that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no. So that was really tough. So I get inside and I shut the patio, the glass door. I call my sister and I'm freaking out and I'm just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I'm telling her what happened. And then I run into, well, I close the patio, the blinds first. And then I run into my kid's room. Here I am. I'm on the phone and I look because I'm pulling the string for to release the blinds in my kid's room. So the blinds go down. My eyes and my being, I was just pulled to look across the way and look at that window in this other apartment complex. It's there. It's right there. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm seeing things, but maybe I'm not. And I've got my phone in my hand and I can feel like it's just staring at me. So I quick and I open up my camera. I click the picture and then boom, I released the blinds. So bam, that's down. Curtains are closed and I'm away from the windows and I am done. I am absolutely done at that point. Now, what I end up doing with the picture, though, is I sent it to my sister and at the time, my first co-host that I had, Vance. And I said, take this photo and keep it. I'm deleting it. Because in the past, I had taken pictures where there was apparitions on these pictures before. I feel like that there is this energetic tie between you and the being through the picture. I don't know if that's a thing or not, but that's something that I've always felt.
No, I think it is because you hear that this kind of stuff can get transferred through media. So why wouldn't there be some kind of tie through a picture that you took?
So I get rid of it and I'm just like, you know what? Let's just keep it. And if I feel like I can talk about it, I'll ask for it back. So that's what they did. But now a couple, like, it was like a week later. And this is where it gets really weird.
Because I'm in the kitchen. That wasn't weird enough.
right. No. And I'm in the kitchen and there's this white van that pulls up. Now, I'm in an apartment complex with a ton of other units. This van, the first thing is I feel like I know where it's going to park. Boom, it parks in the exact spot that I thought it would. And I'm just like, okay. I'm feeling on edge. They open the doors. And there's two men and they're dressed as painters. Okay, well, this is weird because we did get done with a lot of remodeling, but so we were done. Like, and I was good friends with the managers. I was writing for their newsletter. I know there was nobody that was supposed to be there.
Interesting.
So I'm like, okay. So I see them get out and they open the sliding door on the one side. And they're kind of dilly-dallying and they're kind of looking around and I'm just like, okay, like I feel, and I can't explain it. I felt like they were there for me and it scared me. And so I tried to put all the blinds down. I turned all the lights off. I watched them. Well, they get this bucket and they've got whatever in the bucket and they kind of look around and man, they walked straight to my unit, right up the stairs, right to my door. And they knock on my door. And I'm just sitting there like, all I did was sit there. And I was as quiet as I could be because I'm just like, I don't even know what's happening right now. Well, I don't answer. And then all of a sudden I hear something on my door. And it sounds like it's one of their paintbrushes, like being wiped on my door, which is really weird. Then they go down the stairs. They look around real quick. They put everything back in the van and they leave. They drive away and they leave. So I was on the phone with Vance and I was like, what's going on? You know, what is this? And he was like, well, you know, run a magnet across the door, you know, because he was thinking that there could be something like a microtechnology or something. And I opened the door. Man, there was nothing. There was no paint. There was no wetness. There was nothing anywhere on my door or around it.
But that doesn't surprise me. Not to say that there may have been something there, but we just couldn't see it.
Right.
Is kind of what I'm thinking along the lines of.
Right. It was definitely scary, you know, and I've definitely had a lot of different UFO alien type stuff that, you know, just throughout my life. And it's definitely not a subject that I've dove into too much just because I've had such encounters, you know. I mean, even growing up, when I would even try to talk about the subject of UFOs, it was really interesting because, and I did try to see, like, was there a pattern? Because, you know, back then we just had the landline phones, mm-hmm. and it sounded like somebody was listening. Oh, and gosh. Our phone line would go dead, and you couldn't, like, it didn't matter. You could pick up any phone in the house, and it was dead. And it would take a while before we could use our phones again.
Was this relating to any UFO activity that you'd seen? You know, well, maybe you'd see something and then this would kind of happen to your phone line or vice versa?
It was only when I was actually discussing the topic of UFOs and aliens with my friends on the phone, then it would happen.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It was really interesting because it was only during those topics. And, you know, I mean, we did have, I've observed multiple different types of UFOs in the sky above the house that I grew up in. So I feel like everything is somewhat related. One that was really interesting that kind of links to the whole UFO thing and seeing stuff above the house is I decided, I feel so bad. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I had my friend, so we set up the old lawn chairs and we were out in the back, you know, and my folks were rock hounders. So we had this big, beautiful rock garden that went all the way around the house. When you step on those rocks, it doesn't scrape like a river rock. It kind of tinks, you know, it mm-hmm. sounds very specific. Here we are. We get set up. We've got snacks. We've got the lawn chairs. It's the blue hour and we're ready to see some stars. Well, we're sitting there and I kind of just, I don't know. I just have this feeling and I hear something and I hear what sounds like footsteps in the rock garden behind us. And I'm looking behind her and I don't see anything. And I'm staring at her and I'm like, look behind me, look behind me, look behind me. And she hears it too, but she doesn't see anything. And man, I mean, I feel bad for this next part. She's not the only one I've done it to.
Oh, no.
Man, I took off running. I just took off. Like, I didn't say anything to her at all, but I just kind of figured, you know, you can hear that something crazy is going on. You've got to be able to feel it. Just mm-hmm. follow me. We're running, okay? So she follows, and we get up into the house. We go into my room and I'm just like, I'm just done. I'm like, I can't believe that. I don't know what that was. That was really crazy. She was just like, yeah, I don't know either. And now she's always been more of a serious person. She's not somebody that really gets into all this kind of stuff like I do. And we're sitting there and we're talking on the bed when all of a sudden she just like, she just flops over onto my bed and she's hiding her face.
Wow.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And she won't talk to me. And so I'm like, come on, what's wrong? What's going on? By the time she lifts her head off my bed, I see that she's crying. And I'm just like, what happened? And she tells me, because that's the other thing, she doesn't cry easily at all. She saw a hand in my window with long lanky fingers wave at her. Now, I was on the top floor. There's no way to get
oh,
to my window.
God.
It was awful. And so I, you know, again, just, you know, shut the blinds and everything. Here's what was so weird and something that I don't know what to make of it. But we ended up going on a camping trip And the location that we went was about 2.5-3 hours away. We were out and we were camping. You know, my dad took us on a camping trip because it was for, you know, like a senior. It was the summer before our senior year, kind of like a graduation present. We're sitting there and we're in the tent. And I feel the same feeling that I did before at my house. And you can hear something walking around outside the tent. I'm like, we gotta go. I ran again. And we ran into the women's bathroom. We get in there and we're shoved up against the door. And I can hear now these footsteps walking across the gravel in front of the women's door, pacing back and forth. Now we're trapped.
Goodness.
So I look at her and I'm like, go get in one of the stalls. Just go all the way back there and get in one of the stalls. And she's like, no, no. And I said, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I was done. I was so done being scared. And I wanted to see what was going on. What was this? So she goes into one of the stalls and she stays there. And then I just rip open the door and I'm like, what? There's nothing there. There is nothing there.
God.
And I'm just looking out and all I see are trees. There's just this, a little bit of the gravel right in front. And then it's all just these trees. I'm standing there in disbelief. And finally I'm like, okay. So, you know, I shut the door and I was like, well, there's nothing there. And we stand in there for just a little bit longer. And then we're like, okay, well, we're just going to walk back to our tent. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to walk and pretend like we don't even know that anything was going on. So we go back to our tent and we ended up going to sleep. And the next morning when it was time to get up and brush our teeth and get dressed and everything like that, I'm, you know, walking on to the women's bathroom. And I look up and I realize there's no trees.
You're kidding me.
It's just a empty gravel lot. No trees, not one.
Speechless and terrified.
Anything is possible. What if this was just a separate experience and this was actually a time slip and, you know, or dimension, whatever, glitch, where you could see into what used to be, and maybe you're also hearing what used to be there.
Right.
You know, I mean, who knows? Right.
Yeah, good point. Good point. But also, I could see that, but the fact that you said that the energy reminded you of that time in your bedroom, it seems like it's the same thing almost.
Right. I always put it together as one experience because this was all within a 2-week span.
Wow.
And the energy was the exact same. And it really did feel like we were followed. Like it really wanted me to know that, hey, we're around.
My mind is blown right now. That's probably one of the best stories I've heard.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so I think we will wrap it up here tonight. And I would love to have you back on again, if you would be so willing to join me.
Oh, I would love to. This has been absolutely incredible and such an honor. Such an honor. I'm so excited not only that I got to be on here with you, but the fact that I get to have you on KPNL with all of us. This is just, you do phenomenal.
I cannot tell you thank you enough. I'm sure that you're so sick of hearing it. It's unbelievable. I don't even know how all of this happened, but it did. I thank you so much.
I love the way that you're doing this. I love what you're presenting to everyone. I see the heart that you put into what you're doing. I really do. And I am so excited to be here with you on your first several episodes. And I am lucky enough that I get to see you grow.
I appreciate that so much. Let me shout out Steve Stockton, because if it weren't for him, none of this would be possible. And I don't have any other intentions of other than just doing this for the right reasons. And like, my heart's in it. I love this.
I can't thank you enough for, like I said, for having me on. Yes, we totally got to shout out Steve, because if it wasn't for Steve, I wouldn't have met you. And so, you know, love you, Steve. Thank you so much. And
yes, love you, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited and I can't wait to come back on.
Thank you so much.